Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Roy Mulrooney passed away, as you know, a few days ago, and it's been the topic of conversation among many, and particularly in our industry. I've talked to a lot of my colleagues over the years, and we've on-air and off-air exchanged memories of Mr. Mulrooney. And he was combative. He was certainly very productive. He made a lot of changes in this country. But the overwhelming sentiment that I've been hearing, and I share it, is that he was a very decent human being. I had the opportunity to sit with Brian Mulroy for a one-hour one-on-one interview. And I had to remind myself after about 3 or 4 minutes, that I was really there for an inquisition, not for a friendly chat. Because that's how it began. And he was very gracious at the time of that interview. And he was down to 12% in the polls. It was shortly before he turned over the prime minister's position, leader of the Progressive Conservative Party, to Kim Campbell. And that turned into an unmitigated disaster. 1993 federal election, the Progressive Conservatives went from a solid majority government, as you remember or have heard, down to just 2 seats. It's always occurred to me they might have lost those 2 seats and ended up with nothing. Majority government to nothing. Of course, one of the 2 seats belonged to Elsie Wayne, the former mayor of St. John, New Brunswick, and Mayor Wayne was incredibly popular and incredibly outspoken, as I found out in interviews I did with her. I had an opportunity. We have some great guests today to speak about the former prime minister. I had the opportunity to do about an hour ago to speak with the premier of Alberta, Danielle Smith, and you'll hear the entire interview tomorrow, but I just want to begin and play for you the first part of the interview, when I spoke with the Premier about Brian Mulroney.
Premier, thank you for joining us. And the national news this week, the primary story this week, has been the passing of Prime Minister Brian Mulroney, our 18th Prime Minister. What are your thoughts and memories of the former Prime Minister, perhaps personally and professionally?
Well, I was very young when he was in office, but he was a figure around our dining room table because my dad always praised him, first and foremost, for ending the National Energy Program, which was so devastating to our province, but also credited him with bringing down inflation and interest rates as well. My parents went through that time where mortgage rates went up to 20%. And so he really felt like Mulroney was the architect of getting us back to some measure of fiscal sanity. I personally got involved in politics around that time. He was still leader, and he was one of the main reasons why I decided to join the campus club for the Progressive Conservatives. And I got a chance to meet him through that at leader's dinner. He and Mila were both working the room, and I was very fortunate to be able to shake hands with him. I had a couple of conversations with him over the years, and I just always found that he seemed to have a lot of time for people and was always ready to give advice. So I think he's going to be very missed. I think he's just been such an incredible figure in Canadian history.
Yeah, very personable and generous man, personally. I had arranged, shall we say, a live one-on-one interview with him when he was prime minister, and he was down to 12% in the polls at that time. And they didn't want to give me the interview, but let's just say I engineered it. You were in radio. You have a good idea of what I'm talking about. So we had a one-on-one interview at L'Hotel in Toronto, where the party convention had just ended. And it took me a few minutes. I got into the room. He was there, got up, shook my hand. He was just chatting like we've been friends for 30 years. And it took me a few minutes to realize I wasn't there for a social call. I was there to interrogate him. But he just had this really positive attitude about him. I just personally like the man.
Yeah, he. I remember he called my producer, and she recognized his voice immediately because he did just have quite a distinctive voice. And you know, that's what I've heard about him is that he was always very kind to people who weren't even at his level of achievement in politics. He was nice and friendly to every person that he met. And I think that probably did him well in history. He may have had a couple of difficult times in those final years. He didn't get the Meech Lake Accord passed, didn't get the Charlottetown Accord passed, had a controversial defense contract that went to Quebec instead of Montreal, or instead of Winnipeg, and ended up as well, I think, with the GST, probably the right decision to make us competitive with the Americans after signing the free trade agreement. But on the balance of things, people, I think, because we weren't able to keep the country united, keep those interests of Alberta and Quebec in sync, even though he dearly tried, I think, unfortunately, that must have been one of those things that he wished he'd been able to solve.
Yeah. Premier, you mentioned that he did away with the National Energy Program, which was delivered by the current Prime Minister's father. What were some of the other major significant initiatives that he undertook that affected Western Canada?
I would say that was probably the most significant. But one of the things I found so interesting about him as a Prime Minister from Quebec is that I think he had an equal interest in the West as well as from Quebec. That doesn't always happen, and it's very rare when you think after him how few conservative politicians have been able to get a toehold in Quebec after the creation of the Bloc Québécois. So I think that's a very unique talent that he had in understanding that Alberta and Quebec's interests were actually very much aligned. The problem was an overbearing central government trying to do too much in areas where it shouldn't, and respecting provincial rights. I mean, in many ways, if he had the first approach with the Meech Lake Accord, I think we'd probably have a much happier federation right now. Because I think he really understood that balance a lot better than some of his successors has.
I was talking to somebody earlier in the week, and they were telling me they think the GST was maybe his most positive contribution to Canada. And I can remember sitting in the studio with Michael Wilson, his finance minister, and we were trying to figure out what the GST was. He couldn't tell me. And we were doing the donuts thing. You may remember the story. Do you put the GST on 6 donuts if they're in a package, or does it go on 1 donut if you buy a donut individually? That's the level to which we were reduced, and it turned into a ludicrous discussion. But what GST? What do you think of that?
I want to
raise that topic again.
Albertans would not agree with you on that one. I can tell you one of the lasting legacies was a piece of legislation passed in Alberta saying that there would never be a sales tax unless it was put to a referendum. So I would say that it was incredibly unpopular, probably fueled the rise of the Reform Party. And I think I don't think that history has been any kinder to it. If you remember as well, Jean Chrétien won an election saying he was going to eliminate the GST, ultimately didn't. And then when Stephen Harper came in, he reduced it by 2 percentage points. So it probably was a smart policy to replace a hidden tax, a manufacturer's tax, with a more transparent tax. But I don't think that there's any love.
Okay. I don't like it. I still don't like it. I understand it now, but I still don't like it. His relationship with American presidents, what are your thoughts?
I must say, coming into politics from the conservative movement, he was one of 3 conservative politicians of major stature at the time. If you look at Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan, and I think that because that was a really unique time in history to be able to have those 3 political leaders in three of the strongest economy countries in the world able to be in sync on policy. And I think that the fact that we were able to get to a free trade agreement is much to the credit of that relationship. But, you know, he also broke ranks as well with the UK and the US on a really important issue of apartheid and fighting against discrimination and racism in South Africa, for which he's been widely lauded and widely honored. And I think as well, he also advanced issues on the environment. Environment was very important to him, participating in UN conferences, but also addressing issues of sulfur dioxide emissions that were causing acid rain. So I think that he was able to advance conservative policies, but also be able to distinguish himself from his much larger neighbors in some really important policy areas.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.